today and next week, I'm going to be talking about practical ministry, okay? This is the practical stuff that we need, not just a Bible study right now or a real expansion on the Word. We're going to talk about the practical things right now, the real things that are important. And some of the things that I'm going to cover are going to be like the key principles of healing. There's four things that you've got to be aware of and participate in. And then we're going to talk about some of the hindrances to stopping people from being able to receive when we pray for them. So I'd like to share with some of those things for you, and maybe on a few of those go into a little bit of detail on how to handle that stuff, okay? So let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. And let me just open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, for each and every person that hears my voice right now, Lord, that each of us, Lord, would receive revelation, that each of us, Lord Jesus, would be able to come with understanding, Lord, that as we step out as ministers of faith, Father, that we pray for the sick, that we lay hands on those that they can recover, Lord Jesus, that, Father, that our relationship with you would be so close that it would be true, that we would be able to say that you stick closer to us than a brother. That, Father, I just ask for such an intimate relationship with each one of the people in this room and yourself, Lord, that there'd be no doubt would have any foothold in their hearts or their minds. And I just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So one thing I want to start with is I want to talk about faith for just a minute before we get into this stuff. And I'd like to clarify some things for you, that it may be your faith that when you come, when you're coming, when you're up here or wherever and you pray for people, it's going to be your faith that activates the healing in that person's life. Because you believe it, it has to come to pass. It may be their faith. It may be that they're coming in faith to a prayer minister to be able to receive healing, and God's already been working on their heart and they're ready to receive. They just need that point of contact. And you may be that person for that. Or it may be the two of us coming together in agreement, in faith, in the Word. And in that, we're going to see healing take place. And then there's also the proxy, the person that's standing there for somebody else. And then as we pray for them, Jesus is so good, the person that they're standing in for gets healed because of that. And then there's also faith for things like prayer cloths. I mean, I wouldn't go around and just make that a main doctrine, but it's absolutely a reality that if you have faith that something that you touch or pray over, or have contact with, that a person that is bound or sick, when they receive that item, they'll get healed at that moment. That's really true stuff. And I think that all of us need to open up our eyes, open up our ears, and open up our hearts to take God out of a box how he wants to heal somebody. Okay? My point is this, that as a prayer minister, I take personal responsibility that I'm walking in faith when I pray for somebody. I deal with my heart to get the unbelief out of my heart, get the lies that the devil has placed in me, and I take the time to get those out of my heart so that he has less ammunition to try to disrupt me from having a heart of assurance when I pray for those people. Are you with me on that? Okay, I just want everyone to be able to be on the same page. I want to promise you one thing. God is faithful. And I can make that promise with an absolute guarantee that he says, yes, yes, I want to heal that person. Yes, it's my will for them to be healed. Yes, I absolutely want you to do it. And yes, I'm backing you up. That needs to be settled in our hearts. And we need to do what it takes to get settled in our hearts. I'm going to go through a few things here that are real hindrances to some people to be able to receive in prayer. And they're pretty important things. Some things you probably haven't even thought about. But after I say it, you're going to go, yes, oh, maybe that's it. So let's go ahead and get into it, shall we? Number one, God's word has to be the foundation of our faith. It has to absolutely be the foundation. It's not just because you believe they're going to get healed, they get healed. It has to be the word of God as your foundation. It has to, that thing, the Bible says it's forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled in heaven. Where is that? That is in Psalms 119:89. It says that, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So you can go ahead and write that down. Psalms 119:89. Psalms 138 verse 2, you can write that down. It says, at the end of the verse, it says, you have magnified your word above all your name. In other words, God's word, what he speaks out of his mouth, is more important than who he is. Let that sink in. He cannot lie. There's no shadow of turning in him. If he said it, it absolutely must come to pass, or he stops being God. That's really important, that we can really get that settled in our hearts so the devil cannot shipwreck our faith. Let's go ahead and go together. Let's go over to James chapter 2. And this scripture I use a lot, verse 21, but let's look at it. We're going to look at the second part of it, verse 21, part B. And it's James chapter 2. Are you with me? Verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1? Oh, it is 1. I'm sorry. It's in column 2. It is in James chapter 1, column 2, verse 21. Are you with me on that? James chapter 1, verse 21. And this is the New King James. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Implanted word, King James says, engrafted word. In other words, this Bible that is embedded into the soil of your heart, when it's embedded into your heart as truth, it will save your soul. It will transform your identity. It will transform your belief systems. It will transform how you manifest on this earth and live your life. But it has to be implanted in your heart, not just something you casually read once. It has to become a part of you. Are you with me? Okay, so God's word is the foundation of our faith. Now, if we don't believe God's word, look what it says in verse 1, verse 2 through 8. And he's talking about being double-minded. Are you with me? Chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Various trials could be when you're praying for somebody, when you've got somebody in front of you that needs something. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let me just explain that to you, okay? What happens is, if we ask God for something, in other words, like the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or for wisdom, or for revelation on what's going on with that person, or how do I handle praying for this situation, we ask in faith, knowing for a fact that God is going to answer us or show us exactly what we need. We need to know that's true. If you vacillate, well, maybe he's going to show me, maybe you won't show me. Maybe I hear you, maybe I don't hear you. Well, is that God, is that not God? If you do that thing back and forth, you don't get anything. You have no stable ground to stand on. You have to be crystal clear that if you want wisdom from God, he is going to give you wisdom. Right when you ask him. It's not a, well, if you act just right down the road. No, it's right now. So the word of God is absolutely true, and we need to believe it at its face value. And when we can adhere our hearts to that, we will absolutely get the results that it shares with us. Are you with me? Gotcha. So let's go down. I want to talk about healing is a fruit of our relationship with God. Healing is a fruit of our relationship with God. Okay? We don't heal people just because we decide we're going to operate in faith. And so we're just going to believe by faith that that power works in me. So I'm just going to believe that when I lay hands on them, they're going to be healed. Absent from a relationship with God, nothing happens, you guys. Nothing happens. We have to be in that relationship with the Lord because He's the one that heals people. It's by His Spirit that they're getting healed, not by me. Flesh and blood profits absolutely nothing. I can't trust in my flesh that any good thing dwells in it. It has to be by the Spirit of God. And by me being in an intimate relationship with Him, loving on the Lord, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, being in communion with the Lord, then I'm doing the Lord's work, which is healing the sick out of my relationship with Him. Okay? Sometimes the devil would like to get us out there thinking, well, if I just quote the right verse, if I read enough Bible scriptures, if I just stand in faith, if I just declare that to be true, if I just say it over and over again. Absent from a relationship, it's an exercise in futility. It's the Lord that bore it all. It's the Lord that loves people. It's the Lord that heals people. And it's very important that our healing comes out of that relationship with the Lord. None of us are going to be standing up here all by ourselves. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we have to give Him His due, honestly, because He does the works. All we do is accept what He says is true and do it. That's all we do in it. Amen? Those are two very important foundations for prayer ministry. We have to be settled in what the Bible says is the truth to remove the devil from beating us over the head, and being in an intimate relationship with the Lord. I got to tell you, just a personal testimony. My life, I've seen a lot of growth in the last few weeks. And the only reason I've been seeing this spurt of growth in my spiritual awareness is because I've been taking time to just worship God on my own. No music playing, no teaching in the background, no pretense on how it's supposed to go. I sit down and I get in relationship with God until I connect, until the two of us actually get together. And whether it's reading my Bible until I feel the presence of God, whether it's singing dumb songs and just feeling good in my heart until I get to the presence of God. Sometimes I'll pray in tongues and I'll pray in English, then I'll break out in tongues and I'll make up tongues songs that are just crazy sounding in my ears, but something's happening inside of me. This world is fading away, and the kingdom of God and my reality with my God gets stronger and brighter, and His presence starts becoming tangible in my office. And I'm telling you what, that is the best. You know how in the end, it's all going to be burnt up? Those moments are the ones that are going to last. Those are the real important times in my day, in my life, and in my week. Those moments that I really worship my God on my own. And I encourage you to participate in that also. Don't minimize how valuable that time is. After all, we're doing His work, aren't we? We should pretty much spend time with Him so that we can be in agreement with Him as we're doing His work. Wonderful time. I just want to encourage you. Set yourself free in your worship time. Just set yourself, take all the rules and obligations off of yourself and what everybody else says, and get in the presence of your God and enjoy Him. And enjoy Him. Just, I tell Him jokes sometimes. You know that? And I want to be honest with you. He doesn't laugh at a lot of them. He doesn't laugh at a lot of them. He endures me. But He loves me. He does love me though. So it's just whatever is real. Whatever's real when you're in that time, it's important. So let's go on. I want to give you some key principles. There's four of them that I want to give you, and they are actually key principles. So I want you to write these down. Principle number one. This is big revelation. Ready? God is good. The devil is bad. Simplistic, I know. Huge revelation. God is good, the devil is bad. John 10:10. You all know, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. God is good and the devil is bad. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people that come up for prayer and they say, if God loves me, why did he let my daughter die? If God loves me, how come I lost my wife in a car accident? If God loves me so much, how come I've been sick for all these years? If God loves me, why does he let children be abused? You know that? I've never one time in all of the time that I've prayed for people, I would love it one time, somebody break the curse. One time I would like somebody to go, would you pray for me? The devil stole my daughter from me. Would you pray for me? The devil killed my wife in a car wreck. Would you pray with me? The devil is ruining men's life that they're taking advantage of children. They don't really realize that God is good and it's the devil who's bad. He does bad things to people. And we need to realize it is never God's will that any of us should suffer wrongs, that any of us should live horrible lives. It's never God's will for that. But the devil takes advantage of the ignorant and the unlearned. He just does. The devil causes poverty, not God. We need to realize that and let that settle down in our hearts. Are you with me? Number one, God is good, the devil is bad. Number two, God wants us well. You know, I can say those words. In fact, that's one of those teachings that y'all are paying attention to, reading, listening to, whatever. God wants you well is one of those teachings. And I want to reiterate, God wants you well. He went to a lot of trouble for you to be able to be well and for you to help other people to get well. Colossians 2:15, says that Jesus made an open show of the devil. He totally wrecked that guy. He ruined him. He totally defeated him and made an open show, parading him around as defeated. Okay? Absolutely wrecked the guy. And then it says that Jesus, in Acts 10:38, went around doing good and healing everybody. Let's look at Acts 10:38 real quick. This is Jesus' frame. Are you with me? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, if God was with him and empowered him to go about doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed of the devil, is it God's will that anyone should be sick? He would not have taken so much time to take that beating, that whipping for those stripes that healed us, for those crowns of thorns on his head that torment so many thoughts that people are tormented with. He would not have endured that shame if he didn't actually have a joy that was set before him, that he was going to liberate mankind from the clutches of the devil. Not that he was going to stop the devil from being the devil, but he was going to set us to the place that we can walk in victory over the devil. Are you with me? That's very important, that we, when we pray for people, God wants every single one of them well. There you go, Robert. Really, does he actually want everyone well? Every time. Point number three. Healing is God's will every time. Every time. I'm being crystal clear on that. Will you see results every time? Maybe not. Probably not. But it's God's will every single time. There's never a time when it's not. He endured such hostility on that cross. He paid so high of a price that the devil cannot run roughshod over us any longer, that he doesn't even want one person to be taken advantage of by the devil. I don't care how bad the person is or what they've done in their life. I don't care how much sin they're currently involved in. Yes, that opens the door for the devil to destroy their lives. Absolutely it does. But that doesn't mean God wants them to be in that condition, or he won't deliver them in a twinkling of an eye from it if you'd be willing to stand up and stand for what Jesus did and make the devil leave or that sickness leave. I'm going to encourage you real quick. Listen, what Jesus did was so vital and so important and so valuable that we are under a commandment to heal the sick, to set people free, and to chase the devil off from our property and our stuff. We're under a commandment to do that. I'm being a little bit strong here, and I know I'm being strong, but I'm trying to be strong for a purpose. The days of us being at a place where we're kind and wondering if the power works through us and wondering if God's going to back us up has to end. It has to absolutely end. You've been given the authority and the power. Use it. And if something's in the way so we're not seeing the results, end it and get it out of the way. Like it says in Hebrews, you know, for you who are sinners, cleanse your hands. You double-minded, purify your hearts. Let's get it out of the way. Whatever it takes that is stopping us from being able to, with all gusto and boldness, make the devil leave. He's been destroyed. He's been utterly, utterly stopped. But he's still here lying to people and preying on their ignorances. And it's up to us to make sure that he doesn't keep that up. Amen? All right, point number four. And healing is God's will every time. Do you guys want some scriptures on that? Write these down. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to move on, but I want you to write these down. Matthew 8:16. All. Everyone that came to him, everyone was healed. All of them were healed. Matthew 4:24. Jesus healed the people. Matthew 12:15. All. He healed all of them. Okay? So is Matthew the only one? He has a slant on this? No, Luke. I want you to look at this one in Luke. Luke 4:40. Luke 4:40. Let's go there. Jesus healed all of the people that came to him. And I'm going to take it one step even further. Luke 4:40. Are you there? Look at this. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Not the best smelling ones, not the best dressed ones, not the first ones in line and then he was tired, not the ones that was, do me first, Jesus. All of them, every single one he laid hands on and healed them. It's God's will that everyone be well and everyone be healed every single time. He is not the random element. All right? Let's move on to point number four. Point number four, this is important also. Well, they all are. I don't need to say that every time, huh? They all are. Through faith, the healing that is present in our spirit manifests in our bodies. Through faith, the healing that is present in our spirits manifests in our bodies. One more time. Through faith, the healing that is present in our spirit manifests in our bodies. What am I saying? When we, by faith, own it in the spirit as real, it manifests in our flesh. Are you with me? When you got born again, what got born again? Your spirit became awake to the Lord Jesus Christ and got born again. Not your body and not your mind or your soul. It was your spirit is where it is. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Right? My words are spirit, Jesus says. He's the Holy Spirit. Right? Everything is in the spirit realm. And in the spirit, there is nothing that can stop the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. There's nothing. There's no hindrances. There's nothing the devil can do to stop us. If we'll operate in the spirit, we win every time. So what it said is this. When you have it in the spirit by faith, it will manifest in your bodies. Okay? We don't. Here's the fault of a lot of people. They're looking at their bodies to see when they get it. If you're looking at your body to tell you if you're healed or not, you're going to wait a very long time. It's like trying to get your shadow to move and have your body follow your shadow. Does it work that way, guys? But that's what's happening. This is a shadow. This is a created thing for our spirits to operate in. Our eternal man is in this temporal man, right? Just like your shadow is the temporary of you in that given situation. And for us to be checking out our shadow to see how we're doing is silly. We need to look at this, and we know that the shadow will respond to whatever this does, right? Same way, what's real in the spirit will automatically follow in the flesh. Automatically follow in the flesh. We don't have to try to get the flesh healed. We get the reality of what's been in the spirit and we bring it to manifestation in the flesh. You guys, write down your questions if that's tripping anybody up. If it is, write down your questions because I got a lot to cover still. Is that okay? You guys with me? Four things. Okay. God is good. The devil is bad. God wants us well. Healing is God's will every time, and through faith, the healing that is present in our spirit manifests in our bodies. Key phrase is present in our spirits. Amen. Moving on. We have authority over sickness and disease of every kind. All of us have authority over sickness and disease of every kind. Let's look at a couple of examples real quick. Bruce, Matthew 10. Verse 1. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gave that to his 12 disciples, right? Let's go to this one also. Luke 9, 1 and 2. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Okay? Last one. Luke 10, verse 19. Are you there? Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gave that to the 12 disciples and to the 70. And then we all know what he said right as he left, those exact same things to all of us. The exact same things to all of us. So he's not only given us his name, given us his Holy Spirit, but he's delegated the authority to us to do those very things. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit back then. They did all of that in the name of Jesus. Simply in the name of Jesus. Every bit of that. So we all have all that same authority. So we need to settle that in our hearts. Does the devil ever have a right to overrule any of us. No. Does sickness ever have a right to take us down? No. Does poverty ever have a right to rob us of our finances? Or the devourer to rob us of our finances? Or for the devourer to break our stuff down so it doesn't last a long time? No. In the wilderness, in the presence of God, their clothing never wore out. It just didn't. Your stuff doesn't have to wear out quick and break either. Listen, the devil's going to do whatever he can do to shipwreck you. You need to know his tactics. And this church will know in the next few weeks all of the devil's tactics. Amen. I don't want to go into depths with that. Okay, last thing that's really important here. Satan needs our cooperation to make us sick. Oh, I love some of those looks. I love some of those looks. Satan needs our cooperation to make us sick. Should I explain that a little bit? Wouldn't that be nice? Satan needs our cooperation to make us sick. In other words, here it is. Okay? I'm not even going to use you. Satan's here. Okay? And he comes knocking on my door. And he says, pain. Pain. Oh, pain. Soon as I open my mouth, I either allow his authority to be in me, or else I exercise my authority to get rid of him. If I say, oh, I don't feel good, guess what? He just used me. He just used me to allow him to have a right in my body. I just acknowledged him. And I came into agreement with him. But if pain, I go out of here now in the name of Jesus. No sickness. None. A lot of people are ignorant of his devices. And when the pain comes, the feeling comes, the fear hits them, the shame and condemnation comes over them, they don't know that it's an attack and it's not them. They don't know it is a weapon devised against them, and they think it's them. It's not. You're having help. Are you with me? He has to get us to come into agreement. When pain comes, you can make it leave. Or you can say, I have a headache. I have a cold. I have a fever. My checkbook is empty. I don't make enough money. And all of a sudden, these things that he's been trying to get us to come in agreement with, to ruin our lives, we take ownership of. Satan has to have our help to make us sick. But you all, with eyes wide open, are going to be an army that's going to not allow that to keep going on in the body of Christ. You all are going to be the ones that stand and say, no more. 10,000 may fall at my side, 1,000 at my left hand, but none of it's coming near me. None of it is coming near me. Are you with me? Amen. First John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We say those verses, right? Guess what? I want to share something with you. This is a secret. Don't let it out. He stole my thunder. It's true. It really is true. If we'll exercise, if we will align ourselves with, if we'll come in agreement and adhere to the one who is in us, we will get his results. Absolutely, we'll get his results. James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He absolutely will, if you stand against him. Sometimes, I'll just give you a quick little, some people don't want to stand very long. Some people just want to get it over with. Some people want you to just touch them and be done. That may work sometimes. It may absolutely work sometimes, and that's wonderful. But it may not work every time, and you may have to hang in there for a while sometimes. You have to be willing to resist the devil. You have to be willing to draw near to God and stand against him, oppose him until he goes. Okay? Like I said, my dog comes when I call her. My cat's whole different story. They come, it's like as if there's like this delay, you know? Here, my cat just... That's not my idea. Oh, well, all right. And then it comes. And it just kind of saunters along. You know, they have a mind. Sometimes the devil acts like that, you know? He's got to go. Sometimes he hangs on a little bit before he does, though. You got to be willing to resist him until he leaves. Amen? Moving right along. Okay, let's go with some common problems that can cause people to struggle to receive their healing. Problem number one, they quit believing. They were there for a while, you guys. They were there. They got the seed in. They received it with joy. They were all excited about it at first. But then the heat of the day came, and they didn't have much root, and it faded away. And they just quit believing God. And that happens to more people than I would like it to. It does happen. They start out good, but they just can't hang in there long. They need to get in the Word of God, be around other people, and be able to get in fellowship with God till that word can get settled down in their heart. That's the first people. The second group of people is, let's look at a verse here. Let's look at Hebrews 6:12 real quick. Just a little exhortation. Are you with me? That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Again, faith and patience, that constancy, consistency, hanging in there. If you pray for somebody and you don't get results, pray for somebody else. If you don't get results, pray for somebody else. Seriously, hang in there. If you pray for somebody and you don't get results, ask the Holy Spirit what you should do. Ask the Holy Spirit if there's a hindrance. Ask the Holy Spirit, show you how to do this. Hang in there. Okay? I can be either talking about one person in specific, or one person, then the next person, then the next person, then the next person. Listen, don't put God in a box. One time you just touched somebody. I remember touching one lady. I was doing a baptism in the Holy Spirit class with everybody, and this one lady, all I did, she's just standing there trying to receive, and she was locked up. I touched her elbow. Just the tip of my finger just grazed her. I touched her elbow. Boom! She bursts out in tongues. Bursts out in tongues. Other people I lay my hands on and nothing happens. They're locked up tight as a drum. Who knows why? What is the other? You know? She comes the next meeting. She was so excited. She grabbed her husband and she goes, oh, it's easy. He'll just touch you and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll talk in tongues. And she just started jabbering off in tongues. That guy couldn't receive for nothing. I mean, why? Because he wasn't at the place she was at. It was the Holy Spirit, not me. I'm just doing what he asked me to do. It's the Holy Spirit working through me. Sometimes it's an instant. You see the spark flip from you to them. Other times you got to hang in there, and it's a wrestling match in some degree. Just don't give up, you guys. And don't wear condemnation. Don't think it's you. Don't think you're inadequate in some way. Drop all that. Don't wear it. It's on God. And over a process of time, we'll start zeroing in on things and we'll start finding out what works for us and where we see more results, you know? Like, Roy may be great with backs, you know. He's just real confident with backs. And when he prays, everybody's back gets done. And Shannon may, if somebody has headaches, and headaches are gone, and neck problems are gone. Me, your legs hurt, your back, I'll grow out your leg right there in front of your eyes. No big deal. Michelle may be cancer. You know, you don't know. You know, Tony could be finances. He just has a special revelation on that wealth is supposed to be in the hands of the saints. And he may have that. Whatever. Let it be so. All of us can collectively work together and bless the whole congregation, right? Really. None of us have the corner market on any of it. And leave room for God to be God. Leave room for God to be God. Third one, or second one, was fear. Did I cover that? Fear. Let's do Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Fear grips people. They are so afraid. They are so afraid. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are some people that are so bound up because they are afraid to die. You and I have a hope in us, you guys. You and I have a confidence in us. To you and I, it's an easy decision to make. Not the people in the world. They are afraid to die. And some of them, it locks them up so that they can't receive healing. They're just too bound up by it. But we have been given what? A new spirit of power and love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. None of us. We've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, and we can set people free. The next one is emotional or worldly issues. Some people really do have some emotional and worldly issues, you guys. And even though your heart may be right and you're ready to rock and roll when you pray for them and you can get some results, sometimes if they're stuck in things like, say, porn or alcoholism or prescription drugs or things that condemn them in their hearts, it really does hinder them being able to receive sometimes, because that condemnation is on them and it just makes it very difficult for them to receive. They can't believe that God really loves them so much, really. And so sometimes it just takes a little bit of time working with those people to be able to set them free. Just like Jesus did with the prostitute, right? He told her, he says, where are your accusers at then, daughter? Are there none? She says, there's none, Lord. He says, then I forgive you also. Go and sin no more. People need to know that, you know, I'm not saying, listen, the blood of Jesus was for everybody's sin. But if people continue to sin, it opens a door for the devil to beat the snot out of them. And sometimes even worse things. You know that? So we really need to have a sober mind about this when we pray for people. And the Lord shows you things about them, talk to them about these things and help them through them. You're not counselors. You can't give anybody advice on, well, Robert, I believe that my high blood pressure is gone now that you prayed for me. Can I throw away my high blood pressure pills? No. Robert, I believe that I've been on this medication that stops me from having epileptic seizures, but I believe that demon's been cast out of me now and I'm not going to have any more seizures. Can I stop taking my seizure medicine? No. Listen, here's some revelation for you. Ready? Healed people don't take pills. Healed people don't take pills. Only sick people do. I just want you to know that. When they are healed and they know it, they'll decide on their very own to stop taking pills. You and I never have to tell them to do that. I have too many people that have flushed their high blood pressure medicine believing God, and then they have to go get another prescription, and they got condemnation because they had to go get another prescription. Okay? Listen, if they believe that they're healed when you pray for them, have them go to their doctor and check it out. Or they'll have adverse reactions to their medicine because they don't need it anymore. And then they'll stop because they feel worse taking the medicine than when they did before. Either case, we don't give them advice, okay? You're not medical doctors. And as a church, we just don't want that liability on us, all right? So fourth one, generational curses. But Robert, I thought that Jesus broke all those generational curses. And when he died on the cross, there's no more generational curses. I agree. Doesn't stop those familiar spirits from traveling down line after line after line until somebody breaks it. You know what? If granddaddy was an abuser, daddy's an abuser. If daddy's an abuser, son is an abuser. Until somebody breaks that curse in their family, that familiar spirit, it's going to keep traveling down because they identify with it as their family. Are you with me? So those things need to be broken. Some people have trouble receiving because they only know that. That's all they know. That's all they've ever seen is that stuff in their family. We can tell them it can be broken in Jesus' name. They can be absolutely freed of that. I have a story. Have you guys ever heard of a guy named Jack Frost? Jack Frost, he taught on the Father's love. Pretty famous guy. Anyway, he did that in his family. He had sexual addictions. And he told us publicly, so I'm not sharing anybody's laundry that they don't want shared. And he had these sexual addictions and problems. And because his grandfather did it, his father did it, and he did it. You know, as they'd pass the Playboys down through whatever or whatever it was. And it was in their family line. When he found this out, he broke that curse off his life and asked the Lord to forgive him and to cleanse him of all unrighteousness. And then he went to his children and told them that the propensity for this is in our family. If you're going to have a weakness, this will be one of the first ones that'll crop up. I want you to be aware of it so that we can break its power. Please forgive me for carrying it on in my family. I've broken it. I've asked God to forgive me. And he went to his teenage children and asked them to forgive him also, so they can be aware of the devil's devices and break his power from being a part of their lives. Are you with me? Very just regular, sober stuff that a lot of people just don't think about. But it hinders the manifestation of healing in some people's lives, these things. Unbelief. I've got that in a number five. Unbelief. Unbelief is another thing that stops people. They just don't believe. Listen, there's two kinds of unbelief that I'm going to talk about today. One, there's natural unbelief, where they just are ignorant. They don't know. They didn't know it was possible. They don't know that God would do that. They just don't know. Those kind have no resistance to the kingdom of God. You tell them about the kingdom of God, yeah, I'm in. I'll go for it. They just didn't know. The other kind of unbelief is they refuse to believe. I don't care if it's in the Bible. No. No. I don't care if it's in the Bible. No. And that unbelief absolutely just crushes the things of God. Just cold, snuffs it right out. When you defy that and just say, absolutely not, it's over. It's done right there. Identity and trust issues. Some people are like that. They're emotional wrecks. And they just have a real low self-esteem. They are emotional basket cases. And please, I'm not trying to pick on anybody or identify anyone, except for there are some people that have been so damaged and so hurt in their life and disappointed that it's very difficult for them to believe that God is so good, he is going to give them what they're petitioning him for or expecting in healing. It's real difficult for them sometimes to receive. So just be aware of that, and you can help them through that. A great way is to be a friend. If they're in the congregation especially, to be a friend and encourage people, minister to them, so that they have hope that if they'll start seeing you or I loving on them, they might start believing. They might just crack the door open that every negative thing that everybody's been saying their whole life is not the prison they got to live in for the rest of their life. but that they can break out. A little bit of hope is all it takes, just to get a breath of fresh air in there so they can get free of that stuff. Here's one. Long-term sickness, you guys. This is number 8. There's only 10. Long-term sickness. This one is tough for a lot of people to receive. Sometimes, listen, if the devil has put somebody in an accident, had something happen to them, like something break in their body, and or if they've been under extreme trauma and something happened, a debilitating sickness has come on them, and they have to take medications for a long time, or they need appliances to get around, or they have to restructure the where their house is with ramps, wheelchairs, handrails. They have assisted living. They have people that come and help them in their day because they can't do everything. What that wears on a person's identity, it wears on their soul. And it becomes such a normal, natural part of who they are today that it's very difficult to get free of that sometimes, because they have so many reminders around them all the time. And they're trying to believe God, and they have to use this walker. They have to use this machine to get up out of bed and to get over to their chair. They have to do all these things. And so it's very difficult for them to really receive their healing sometimes, because they have all these reminders around them. Okay? Another thing that just makes it a little harder. If somebody's been on medicine for a very, very long time, sometimes they're very afraid to not take it because they just don't know what'll happen. I'm going to put these two together, 9 and 10. Mental illness and demonic influence. Last two. I'm not saying these are all of them. These are the main ones that hinder people, okay? Mental illness. Some people are whack jobs. And I say that in the most loving way. Some people are just out there, and they know they're out there. And there's just no two ways about it. And I don't know if a demonic influence caused that behavior, or that behavior opened the door to demonic influence. I don't know which one comes first and the other one comes second, but they are truly bound. And me, myself, I've never been able to get any mental ill people healed yet. I've tried. I've befriended them. I've invited them around. They've been a part of our groups and all. And it's almost like people just start accepting that they're like that. And you just kind of make concessions for it in your life. And I have tried, and I don't know what the resistance that I faced was, but it was strong. And I haven't been able to get them free yet. Now, some of you may have been able to get somebody free that has had mental illness. I haven't yet, but I'm believing God for it. I know for a fact it has to bow to the name of Jesus. It does. And I know that one day someone's going to be my first. Somebody is, because I'm going to pray for him anyway. I'm not going to let it stop me. But that is a hindrance. It just is. And you need to be aware of it. I don't want you to say, well, Robert says he's never got anybody healed, so I'm not going to even expect to get anybody healed. Don't do that. Expect Jesus to want to heal every single one. Just because I've had a block to it and I'm sharing it openly, don't bring my considerations into your world. And don't bring their considerations into their world. Let me just say this before we stop the section. When we pray for people, when we're up here, or if you're in your life and praying for people, don't prejudge the situation. Have more grace than that. Don't prejudge what they're coming up for prayer for. Don't prejudge because you see them in a walker or in a wheelchair, or you see that they're blind, that is what they're there for, or that is hard. We as carnal have this idea that some things are hard and some things are easy. Like I just told you about the mental illness one. You know, we just have this little scorecard. I don't know where it comes from, but it's just, whoa, oh, chicken pox, that's easy. You know? Blind eyes, oops, that's hard. I don't know where that comes from, but Don't do that. Don't. Here's the best thing advice I've ever got. Just don't say nothing. Let them come up there. Let them tell you what they're in prayer for. Get in fellowship with the Holy Spirit while they're there. You should already be in fellowship. And pray. Do that. And just don't give this, don't even let this guy speak. We'll go into more depth next week about that. But some shutting your mouth and not saying anything is huge sometimes. Amen? Amen. So that's been just about an hour. So we're going to go ahead and open it for questions. Let me just tell you what we're going to talk about next week, okay? Next week, what we're going to cover is practical ministry for yourself personally. For if you're trying to believe God and bringing something in, and then how to actually minister to others. When you're standing up here, what is the process that we go through? How is it that we're supposed to do this? And then I'm also going to talk about how to minister to children next week, okay? Because that's another one that you just can't do it the way you do everybody else. Okay? There's things you have to do. So let me get this microphone out. Pastor Trey's around. There he is with the microphone. So I know that was a lot for you guys. Did you get good notes? That's a lot. Go ahead. Wait for the mic.
Well, this is an easy one.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we got all 10 of those last things. Could.
Mm-hmm.
6 and 7.
Okay. 6 was a hard heart. Oh, did I skip that one?
Yeah.
Darn. Did I do unbelief number 5?
Yeah.
Okay. 6 was a hard heart. You guys know what that is, right? A hard heart is just a heart that just has no knowledge of the Word of God. Their attention is totally in another realm, and it means absolutely they're oblivious to the goodness of God. They just, nothing there. 7, identity and trust issues. 8, long-term sickness. 9, mental illness. 10, demonic influence. I covered demonic influence the first night, or the other night anyway. Maybe not. Anyway, those are the 10. You guys got all 10? Anybody need anything filled in? You're good. All right.